Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode 14 for the week of February 25th, 2009. All right, welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture.
Today we're going to be talking about a blog post put up by Mitch Carpata on his site Insult Sword Fighting. His blog post was titled, A Peripheral Concern, which already, awesome. I love pun titles, as you readers have probably noticed from the site. I cannot resist a good pun title. And it's a pun because he was talking about Street Fighter 4 and the arcade sticks released around Street Fighter 4. So Street Fighter 4 is coming out, in case you haven't been following any of the video game news for the past month.
Oh yeah, people are shitting bricks over this game.
Oh yeah. And it's coming to consoles. And it's not coming with a arcade stick bundled, but a lot of the most hardcore, dedicated, I guess even casual Street Fighter people, they feel like the purest way to play, the truest way to play a Street Fighter game is with an arcade stick and buttons rather than a gamepad.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
It simulates the arcade experience.
And it's also, it's kind of funny because people are excited about the Mad Catz arcade stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I actually went into GameStop recently and they were trying to sell me this. They weren't even trying to sell me the game. I guess
they just wanted you getting it. Yeah.
They were trying to sell me the Mad Catz peripheral, which is just interesting because Mad Catz is known for really terrible peripherals.
Exactly. Mad Catz has always kind of been kicked around as far as peripherals go. And now it seems like it's releasing something that people are actually buying. It's not the most expensive one that they have out. I forget how much it is, but it's like the second tier one. But still expensive. It's more expensive than the game, for sure.
I think it's over $100.
I think that's the expensive one. I think that's like the tournament edition one. The Mad Catz one is standard. I think it's like $80 still. I mean, like, no matter what it is, I know it's more than the game itself.
Yeah.
And so Mitch brings up the interesting point of when you're evaluating Street Fighter 4, do you take into consideration the idea of playing it with an arcade stick versus a control? How do you evaluate this game, and how much does the peripheral come into play when you're talking about it and when you're reviewing it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought that was an interesting thing to talk about because it seems like we are going through a renaissance of peripherals. I mean, so like in the dawn of console gaming, we did have a kind of a slew of peripherals. We had the light gun, which was bundled in lots of NESs.
And it was in-house. That was Nintendo developed.
Yeah, Nintendo developed, not a third-party thing. Rob the Robot.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Everyone's friendliest peripheral. The Power Glove.
The Power Glove, which is... I wish I had a Power Glove, just so I could wear it around.
I wish I had a Power Glove so I could, like, mount it above the mantle or something. Yeah. Never to use it, because, my God, what a horrible thing to use. But just as a conversation piece, that'd be awesome to have.
They had the running pad. Mm-hmm. I guess it was kind of like a DDR pad, but back in the day it was for Olympic Games, and I remember we had it as a kid, and it was pretty great.
Did it break?
No, man, we ran and jumped on the thing.
That's what I was thinking.
There's also those moments where you just drop to your knees and start hitting it with your hands because you know you can run faster if you start hitting it with your fists.
Yeah, I always am surprised at how sturdy those old things are.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah. And then I feel like there was kind of a lull once you get to the 16-bit era. I mean, you had the Super Scope, but very few games ever used it. I don't even really remember any Sega peripherals.
Mm.
And then for the PlayStation, that's the end of the PlayStation era and the N64 era was when it seemed like DDR was coming back on the scene and the peripheral culture started slowly growing again. And now it feels like it's bigger than it's ever been. Because look at what we have now. We have DDR, of course, it's died down a bit.
Yeah.
We have Rock Band and Guitar Hero, possibly the premier peripheral games out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have Wii Fit, possibly the best-selling peripheral game right now. I think it's outselling.
I think it's the best-selling one. Yeah. Well, and then also all the other Nintendo crap that they do. The wheel for Mario Kart.
Yeah.
The cardboard box for Wii Tap.
Exactly. I mean, it just seems like we're now back at a point where peripherals are a big deal. And so it's a big deal when they release Street Fighter 4 because it's something that's so inextricably linked to something that is not packaged with the system or with the game. It's something besides the controller that we're using to play.
Yeah.
So what do you think? When we review it, should we assume that people are going to have a stick? Not assume that people are going to have a stick? Do caveats?
I mean, you know...
This is the question that Mitch Carpata
asks. Right, I think it's a good idea to discuss that question first. Yeah,
he asks, like, what, you know, how should this game be reviewed?
I think it would... You have to talk about the... If the game is marketed in a way that suggests that the game is playable without an arcade stick,
mm-hmm.
but it's severely weakened, then you're going to need to talk about that.
Do you think it's marketed to hide the fact that it's weakened in many players' eyes? Or do you think they're just kind of saying it's an option?
You know,
I'm just wondering if Capcom thinks that their game should be played with a stick no matter what.
I haven't seen any commercials for that. The only reason I know about the stick thing is because everyone who's playing the game for review purposes, you know, people who are doing similar things like we are and other people in the industry who are talking about the game are talking about it because they're also using these control sticks.
Yeah.
That's not something that I've seen in, you know, their Street Fighter ads on the BART or something.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, I think they're absolutely saying that the game is playable and enjoyable without the stick. If it's a severe difference, that's something that you need to talk about.
Did you ever play Street Fighter when you were younger? I haven't played Street Fighter since like 1994.
No, not since the end. Yeah. Not since then. I mean, occasionally I do. Like I played fighting games in the arcades.
Yeah,
I'm terrible at fighting games.
Same here.
And it's really why I'm not that excited about Street Fighters. I'm so bad at them.
Yeah.
That. I don't think that I can enjoy myself because it's a game that is more fun if you play with other people, but also less fun if you play with other people.
Well, and I think it might be more fun if you play with other people that you know, but if you're going to an arcade and getting beat by some kid that's skipping middle school to play it, it's a little bit humbling.
Yeah.
When I played Street Fighter, I played it mostly on the Super Nintendo, and I didn't have a stick. I just used the control pad. So for me, I feel most at home, actually, when I'm on the control pad. It might not be the best way to control. I'm sure I would probably be a better player if I could learn how to do the stick.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to use that gamepad, even with a good gamepad like Sony's. I wouldn't even want to try the Microsoft gamepad on this. I mean, that's just torture. So I think it's interesting because there's some people that may not have even had that original stick experience. And now that it's being focused on so much, it's kind of weird. I feel like I'm not really... I feel like that I'm not getting the full experience without using the stick.
Yeah, I mean, one of the hard things, though, is the idea that the people who are really good at this game, the ones who are fans, the ones who compete in Street Fighter tournaments, are going to be the ones who are using it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't learn those skills, if you don't buy the peripheral,
mm-hmm.
you know, you may not ever become that caliber of a player and therefore never experience that aspect of play that is open to you in the sense that you can be better at this game. At the same time, you know, and again, I haven't had my hands on the game, but if the controller suffices, then, you know, maybe they're just saying, look, if you want the experience of someone who's not very good at it, then you can just buy the game and it should be fine because people like you and I might still get a kick out of playing with our friends using just the controller.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, a big fan and you want to take it to the next level, then the option is to get a stick.
Yeah. And maybe that's how the reviews, to answer Mitch's question, maybe that's just how the reviews have to go. There has to be almost a bisected review, or maybe just a caveat, you know, at the beginning saying, I played this with this input method.
Yeah.
And then suggest how it colored your... Because it's a big cost to buy a whole nother... I mean, you're basically at least doubling the price of the game.
Yeah.
For a peripheral that you're never going to use in any other context. It kind of leads us into the Guitar Hero Rock Band arena. Because when are you ever going to use...
I think you technically can, but...
I think I'm sure you technically could use the stick with other games.
Yeah,
other fun. But you probably won't.
No.
And so... In a review, that you might need to mention that in order, in order to get the classic experience of the arcade, you'll need to buy this thing. But is the game serviceable without it?
Yeah, and it kind of just depends on how big of a difference it makes.
Yeah,
from what I hear, it makes a big difference. You know, otherwise you wouldn't see, you know, all tournament bracket players using the sticks.
Yeah, but I mean, on the other hand, there's a precedent for Street Fighter not having an arcade stick, like what I was talking about, my history of the Super Nintendo thing, there's no precedent for Rock Band not having a plastic controller.
Yeah.
There's rhythm games without controllers, but there's never been a precedent for a guitar rhythm game that you play with a controller.
Yeah.
You know, we've never lived in a world where we bought Guitar Hero just for the control.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even sell... Well, they do now, but at the beginning, they wouldn't even sell Guitar Hero without the guitar.
Right, and that's kind of what the difference between, say, Rock Band and Guitar Hero is from Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Band and Guitar Hero admit completely that this game is not fun if you're not playing with a guitar.
Yeah.
And so it comes bundled. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you would ever buy a Rock Band or Guitar Hero game is... without those peripherals is if you already have them. Mm-hmm. But even so, they're still building on it, right? They're still releasing new models of the drums, new models of the guitars, and I imagine that's going to continue forth for a good period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're improving on the things that they consider to be fundamental to how you play that game.
I think that brings up a new way of reviewing games too, because now that we're seeing this world where things like Guitar Hero and Rock Band are being released, as well as things like the Wii... you're not only evaluating the software, you're evaluating the hardware.
Yeah.
Which is usually something that game reviewers and game critics don't have to do, except if a game is launched. You know, at launch time, you talk about the specs of the system, you talk about the storage capacity, and then you just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about hardware again. We're talking about how springy the guitars feel.
Pads are, yeah.
And we're talking about how sensitive the Wiimotes are.
Yeah. And how, like, sensitive the tilt is on the Guitar Hero controls.
Exactly. You know, if you have to really shake it, then that... Not only is that you're criticizing the hardware for something, but it's the hardware messing with the game experience.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to me, because when Rock Band 2 came out, I already had Rock Band 1, but a lot of people were talking about, in their reviews, the hardware. They mm-hmm. were saying this is a marked improvement on the previous ones. You know, the drums were now wireless, the drums were... less loud and all mm-hmm. of those aspects of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I wasn't buying the hardware. I was just wanted the game.
You were buying the songs.
I was just buying the songs.
Yeah.
And so that aspect of view wasn't that useful for me. Sure, I can ignore it. But, you know, at the same time, it's interesting that they include that as part of the software review, because the software is still what it is. Mm-hmm. It's still enjoyable from the first Rock Band.
And you can even have the same songs that you had in the first yeah. Rock Band. I mean, it's the same game for all intents and purposes.
I think what is kind of weird to me is I feel like only a few people who already had Rock Band also bought Rock Band and its new hardware system.
Well, I don't know. You think? I feel like a lot of... I don't have
I,
any...
I want to.
I don't have any numbers on this, but I feel like a lot of people probably bought at least the new drums.
Yeah.
You know,
I want the new drums.
Yeah, because it just seemed like people were raving about them. It's a different idea that when you release a new game, you're not releasing a new piece of software like you were in the past. You're releasing new pieces of hardware.
Yeah.
To play the same software.
Yeah.
And I think that pretty much sums up the Wii's ethos. Because the Wii is not bleeding edge technology as far as pushing polygons and rendering textures and lighting effects and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii is revolutionary because the hardware is different. The actual physical way you interact with the game is different.
Yeah.
And so when you're reviewing a Wii game, it feels like you're spending so much time on the input. You're actually talking about the hardware more than the software part of the game itself.
Yeah.
It's stretching the definition of what we think games are. Because I always think of a game as a piece of software. You put it in the disc tray, and then you don't think about the control. You don't think about what it's doing to the Xbox or the PlayStation. But with the Wii, you actually do think about what it is doing with the hardware that you're holding.
Although that's kind of always what the war between the consoles is, right? I mean, people talk about the reason the PS3 is better and the reason the Xbox 360 is better. You know, a lot of the reasons people choose one over the other has to do with the control schemes, you know? My thumb gets... burned raw on a PlayStation control.
I know, that's hilarious.
And it doesn't happen to me on the 360.
Yeah.
That's something that I notice. If I play a video game on a PS3 for more than a couple hours, mm-hmm. my thumb starts to hurt.
Did it happen in the PS2?
It did happen on the PS2.
Huh. Wow. Sony really needs to redesign their controller.
That
because
I maybe I just have baby soft fingers. I don't know.
After all of these years, these decades of playing games, you're still tender enough to get blisters.
But then on the other hand, you know, the 360 D-pad is pretty much useless.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. So I guess to a certain extent, you're always kind of interacting with the hardware. I feel, but I don't know, for some reason, I just feel like the hardware kind of melts away for me in most experiences.
And I think that's the way it should be, which is actually why, coming back to, you know, the Mitch Capata post to begin with, it's weird associating a peripheral, particularly a third-party peripheral, to a game that is not necessarily associated with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of culture around arcade stick fighting games.
Yeah.
The idea that the true game is the one that you play on the arcade stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen plenty of reviews at this point already for Street Fighter 4 where they don't even play it on the controller. Yeah. They don't mention it. They don't because that's the way it's supposed to be played. Yeah. Which is just, it's strange to me, you know. Because there's also issues about fairness here. When you go online and you're fighting someone who's using a stick, and they're much better at it because they've spent a larger sum of money than you are, because you're stuck with a 360 controller and a D-pad that is weak.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having a hard time pulling off a Hadouken and they're, you know, owning you, that's not really fair.
It brings back this old debate that we get into, it seems like, every week about, are we actually playing the same game, even if we're playing the same title? And hardware, I think, really brings this into sharp contrast, because if you're using a different input method, it's debatable. Much more so, like, we can talk about emergent gameplay and procedural stories and things like that, like software-driven things that rely on the player and the interaction between the player and the game. But when you throw in a new piece of hardware in there, there's a much stronger, more concrete, almost literally, argument to be made for that you're not playing the same game anymore.
Yeah, and I think that it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, particularly with the fairness thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, you can take a look at Nintendo peripherals that are for Mario Kart, the little wheel thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's mostly novelty. It's supposed to immerse you, right? And they have a lot of those peripherals for driving games, for computers and whatnot.
Yeah.
The pedal and the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you do because you think that it's more fun, personally. Yeah. The arcade stick is designed to be better at the game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily immerse you more. I suppose one could argue that the arcade stick
is part of the game.
Or two, that the arcade stick immerses you in that nostalgia of being in an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't immerse you. It's not more like you're fighting. You're not wearing fists and punching people. You know?
Just wait till Street Fighter 4 Wii Edition comes out.
Doing a roundhouse kick is nothing like, you know, flicking the arcade stick.
Mm-hmm.
So the logic of launching one and then allowing people to play online together and then, you know, not necessarily reviewing both is flawed to me, because they are very different experiences in terms of how you play. Not just what you're getting out of it, but what you're putting into it.
I wonder, in the matchmaking of Street Fighter 4, if it's so granular that it would be able to see who's playing with what input and then match people differently. Because this is bringing up the old issue of not letting players play first-person shooters where some of them are mouse and keyboarding it, and where some are using a controller.
Yeah, and I think Mitch mentions it in the comments to the post.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had a conversation with someone probably a couple months ago where they were arguing that they should let and come out with mouse control for consoles,
mm-hmm.
and that it should be something that is widely used.
Mm-hmm.
And I was arguing that that's not a good idea because it ruins the experience, right? And that's something that I think the software developers should be concerned about in terms of third-party hardware.
Yeah.
If someone comes into a 360 game, say Left 4 Dead,
yeah.
and, you know, the four survivors, you're playing versus,
yeah.
right? The four survivors on the opposing team are using mouse and keyboard,
mm-hmm.
and their accuracy is significantly higher than yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair, and that's going to not just ruin the experience for some of the constituency, but it puts on this undue pressure that was not packaged with the game. You should not feel any pressure to buy a peripheral if it's not packaged with that game, in my opinion. And the pressure is coming down on Street Fighter, at least that's how it seems.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting argument, because we had to buy the peripherals for Rock Band.
Yeah, but it was packaged with it. They say,
not anymore.
Well, yeah, not anymore, but because they're saying that what we gave you was good.
Mm.
You can still play Rock Band with your friends online, even if they have other guitars.
Mm.
The guitars that we're releasing from now on are additions to it. You're essentially modding an existing peripheral to make it more enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
So, for example, it's not necessarily the same to have the lower fret bar and the Rock Band 2 controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Or the
Guitar Hero ones.
Yeah,
the sliders.
The sliders.
Yeah.
But that's something that adds to the experience. You don't need it to play, however.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you could also be right, though, because
it does change the game if you're...
Of more of my concern, too, is a lot of times with these peripherals, people release kind of crappy copies.
Yeah.
You know, the Rock Band drums were faulty for a lot of people, and EA had to extend their return policy on those.
Yeah.
My drum pedal broke really early on, right? If you're releasing higher quality peripherals later on, you know, better forms of hardware, and you said in the beginning that that hardware was going to be up to snuff, you know, that's something that falls on the responsibility of the developers and the publishers.
Do you think that the peripheral tidal wave that we're in right now, because it kind of feels like it's a big deal. Like, a lot of games are coming out. Activision is saying that the next Tony Hawk game will have a peripheral. You will not play it with a controller, which is weird because they're, I mean, I can only assume they're going to put out what is essentially a higher tech Wii balance board.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lower tech one if they have to bundle it in with their game.
Yeah, the Wii Fit's expensive.
It is, yeah. And so, one, do you think it's a good thing that we have this rise of peripherals?
You know, my gut says no, but I can't help but shake the feeling that I'm beginning to sound like one of those old nostalgia gamers.
Back in the day, we had two buttons and we loved them.
Exactly. A and B is all you need. No, I mean, I feel like I've got so much control over a controller.
Yes. Right?
That all my access points are in my hands, and I guess it's kind of just me whining about not knowing how to use a Wii Fit board to play Skate 2.
Uh-huh.
But the point still stands, right? I feel like peripherals are far too often just gimmicky, you know? It works for Rock Band.
Well, you know,
you need it to play Rock Band.
What's the difference between a success and a gimmick? A gimmick is, you know, a successful piece of hardware peripheral is a gimmick that you like. You know, of course it's a gimmick,
But the difference between, in my mind, gimmick and a success is something that is incorporated, you know, from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear with peripherals, and you see them with Nintendo all the time with their stupid little, you know, Mario Kart things, at least in my opinion, is that the game is designed to be played on a controller, and then the peripheral is designed to, you know, enhance that experience. Or to be immersive and to give you this idea that, look, I'm using a skateboard.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel that good. You lose a sense of control. Maybe not.
It's debatable because I've played against some people on the Nintendo Mario Kart World channel where they have the little gold wheel icon above their head, and that means that they are masters at the wheel, and they beat me every single time.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I like what you were saying a little bit earlier about if the peripheral is packaged in, and clearly, this game was designed for the peripheral from the ground up. Everyone should be using it. There won't be any stratification of either price or skill. Like, even if the game is more expensive, like Rock Band or Wii Fit, if you can buy that game, that means everyone's on the same level.
Yeah.
It's either... There shouldn't be haves and have-nots with the same game. The haves should be the ones with the game and the peripheral, and the have-nots should just have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, or else there's nothing fair even within the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that with the success of the Wii and the success of Rock Band and Guitar Hero, I think we're just going to see more and more of these things.
Yeah, and you already see it with Guitar Hero and Rock Band, you know, coming out with so many additions, and they say that they want to constantly adapt it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we could be in for more instruments.
But what a waste, right? I mean, just think about... I mean, it's great and all. I love the fact that we're making technological advancements and coming out with peripherals that are immersing players into games in new ways that have not been done before.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
At the same time,
uh-huh.
Goodwill is going to be having stockpiles of original Guitar Hero and Rock Band controls. And we're going to get people who can't afford it, or we're going to start putting just too much emphasis on what it's like to be in that situation, you know, and not necessarily saying, look, we don't always have to pretend we're actually in the video game.
Virtual reality is overrated.
Well, and it's also, virtual reality is overrated. And it's also the idea that immersion does not necessarily come from what you're wearing, right? Mm-hmm. What you're attaching. Guitar Hero and Rock Band are amazing games because they immerse you into what it feels like to be in a band, right? You feel that energy. A lot of that energy is not just because you're holding something that's shaped like a guitar.
Because you're with other people and you're playing songs that you have this... emotional connection to.
Right, and just yeah. the development itself, you know, the what they show on the screen, the mm-hmm. the colors and the brightness of the lights, mm-hmm. and the sound that the notes make when they hit that little mm-hmm. bar,
yeah.
and that triggers, all of those things are part of what immerses you into the game. Yeah. The same can be said for Street Fighter, the same can be said for Mario Kart. We don't necessarily need peripherals to enhance that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We don't need them to enhance it. I guess they just need to be used judiciously, because I think I would have liked to have, if Capcom really did want people to play with the stick, I would have loved to see Street Fighter come out and cost like $80 or $90 and have the stick with it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because it seems like the people who are buying Street Fighter 4 are the people that would be buying it regardless.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll win any huge converts of Street Fighter 4. You know, there's been a million Street Fighters. If you're not going to buy this one, if you're going to buy this one, you've probably bought ones in the past, and you would also probably buy this one regardless, because yeah. you've decided a long time ago that you're going to come back to Street Fighter.
Right, and I think that a lot of people who do buy it but who aren't major fans and who don't have the arcade sticks are going to have a decent time. You know, they're just going to play together with controls.
I would have just liked to see everyone have the same mass experience, everyone venturing forth into this same experience together.
I agree. Although, you know, even if they had packaged it, you know, someone else would come out with one that people would argue is, you know, even more sensitive, or, you know, the buttons are positioned better. True. There's always going to be some of those hardcore competitive level fighting players mm-hmm. who want some top-notch gear, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the type of difference that developers need to be aware of when they're making the game.
So maybe just make sure that, you know, if as a developer, they would have to pay attention as to how much of their game is actually contingent on the chunk of plastic. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this catches on, you know, whether we don't talk about Street Fighter 4 ever again after the next 2 weeks, you know, whether it flares out or whether people keep on playing it. And I think it'll be intriguing to see what happens with the next generation of consoles, to see if we'll keep going with this peripheral
mindset. I'm really interested, because if peripherals are really popular, you know, would you be surprised to see light guns coming back in popularity? You know,
Left 4 Dead? The Wii has a bunch of light gun games just using the Wiimote.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say the Resident Evil 4 remake is basically a light gun game now.
Yeah.
It's a strange mixture of a retro feeling and something new being added to these peripherals.
Yeah, I mean, there's even the growth of, like, 3D glasses and stuff.
Oh, man. you said virtual reality is overrated, so when I have my 3D TV and glasses and I'm just zoning out, you can play your 8-bit system.
Yeah, I'll be full of regrets.
All right, well, if you want to weigh in on your past experiences with peripherals, be sure to drop us a line at experiencepoints@gmail.com.
Uh-huh, and experiencepoints.blogspot.com is our site once again, and we encourage you to visit it frequently. We update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings. Tell your friends.
Yeah, and leave your comments, because we always like seeing people's conversations on the posts that we put up there.
Absolutely.
All right, until next time.
Have fun.
Have fun. Every time we listen.